Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Marriage Material. I'm your host, Morgan Harrison, and on today's episode, I'm going to be answering your burning wedding planning questions. I want to thank the listeners who have submitted questions for me to answer on today's episode. If you are listening to this and did get a chance to ask your question for this episode, I am going to be doing this every month or two, so you can ask your question for next time by going to my website, marriagematerialpod.com. You'll scroll down till you see the Burning Questions blog post. You can click on that and ask your question in the comments section. You can also submit your question by DMing me on Instagram at marriagematerialpod. Before we dive in to answering your burning wedding planning questions, I first want to start off by thanking you, the listeners, for all your support and just listening to my podcast as I am figuring out the audio and editing and my interview skills. I am learning every episode and trying to perfect this for you to make it easy for you guys to listen to and enjoyable for you guys to listen to. So thank you for bearing with me. I promise that I'm getting better and soon it's going to be exactly how I want it to be, but it's, you know, a work in progress. The launch of Marriage Material has been a bit of a long time coming. I had the idea for this podcast last July, after being in the world of weddings for about 2 years. Once I moved to Savannah last April, previously I'd been working weddings through a venue, so once I moved to Savannah, I was now the outside planner. I was having clients and going to different venues, being their official planner versus being a planner through a venue. And I just was able to connect with brides a lot more in this role, as in a way that I wasn't when I was tied to a venue. So I became a lot closer with my couples, and I had noticed that a lot of my brides had questions for me outside of wedding planning. Questions about, you know, what life is like once you're married, how to get along with the in-laws, and, you know, career-wise, and having kids, and just merging finances, and deciding on where to live, and all those questions that you don't really think about until you're getting married, and you're like, wow, this is a little more complicated than I maybe thought about merging my life with another person. So my brides have questions for me on marriage, but then also, you know, they're on finding the one. How do I know I actually found the perfect person for me? I love this person, but, you know, it's, you always have this idea in your head about who the one is going to be, putting pressure on the one. And then when it gets here, it seems like overwhelming. You know, questions of, am I making the right decision, getting married at this age, or getting married to this person, or getting married at just this stage of life? It just can be very overwhelming. I think that I myself included, and a lot of people, you know, you think about your wedding since you were a kid, whether you're the person who has their full wedding planned out even before you're dating someone, or if you're the person who has nothing planned. But it's still like an idea that pops in your head about who your future person is and what your wedding may look like or what age you think you'll get married, kind of that timeline that people set for themselves, even if they don't realize it. I definitely had an idea of my mind, and I think a lot of people get kind of their timeline from their parents. But now I'm getting to an age where a lot of my friends are getting married, are newly married, or are feeling the pressure, are single and are feeling the pressure of kind of finding, starting to date and finding their person. Seems like it's a conversation just in this past year more than it's ever been before. So not only was I getting questions or having these conversations with my brides, but also my friends, just questions about wedding planning, but also dating and, you know, kind of going to this next stage of life, being married. It's just kind of an overwhelming time, kind of navigating you're just starting to build your career, and you're also merging your life with somebody else, and kind of pressure on what you should maybe look like now that you're married. You should kind of have this amazing glow up now that you're engaged. Just kind of a lot of pressure around this time of life. It's a very exciting time of life, but it also can be really scary and overwhelming. So I wanted to create a podcast that touches on all those things. Wedding planning, of course. I love talking weddings. I want to share all my knowledge that I have with people, but then also learn from the incredible guests that I am able to have on within the wedding and events industry. I learned something every episode I've done. I've learned something. So I wanted to create something that was able to share all those things, all the wedding planning things, but then also touch on just life as a wife and dating and being able to, even whether you learn something or not, you're able just to relate to my own stories or the stories of the guests that I have on, and just some confirmation that you're not alone in the questions that you have or the stress that you're feeling. Because I get it, trust me, I for sure am thinking about marriage and dating in a way that I had never before, especially living in Savannah. Almost all my friends here are already married, which is crazy to me, because I feel like I am nowhere near being marriage material. But I guess that's also what this podcast is about. It's kind of redefining what being marriage material really is. Because in my mind, I'm just thinking, I'm still navigating my career. My personal hygiene, gosh, I still have so much acne. Ugh, I feel like I have more acne than I did in high school, which shouldn't be happening if I was marriage material. But I am learning from my guests in that way too, giving myself some grace and working on building myself and sharing my stresses and concerns with others. So anyway, I shared this idea with Robin, my former coworker, about the idea. She was the first person I told, and she loved the idea. She is still helping me with the video part of this podcast, which is amazing. I shout out to her for being so supportive and such a great friend and just believing in me, which really means a lot. And then I told Claire, who was on episode 1, Wife Life Updates, and she loved the idea as well. So I just kind of went for it all the way. I invested in equipment and studio and did a lot of research on how to edit and how to distribute my podcast and how to make money off my podcast and kind of all the things, and created my website, all the socials, my TikTok, my Instagram, my YouTube, and really just went for it. Didn't think too much about it. I just knew that I was passionate about getting my idea out there, and I just went for it. Of course, when I think of people who start podcasts, it seems like most people already have a following on social media, which I surely do not have. I don't think the past few years I've posted maybe one picture a year. Like, I don't think I've ever broken 1,000 followers on Instagram. So, you know, by standards, I am nowhere near influencer status, but I feel like my idea kind of speaks for itself, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing this to share what I think people want to hear, and I'm benefiting myself in the process of learning and learning from others and growing my career by meeting all these incredible people in the industry. So I was like, you know, why not? Why not? You know, maybe it won't go anywhere. And even if it doesn't, I'm having so much fun doing it. And I hope it goes somewhere because I have so many ideas that I would like to share with you and so many different ways I want to grow the whole Marriage Material brand. So I would love the opportunity to be able to share all those ideas with you. So I hope people listen. I hope if you're listening now, you're sharing this with other people so we can get Marriage Material out there. I would love that very much. But kind of another, speaking on that, another great thing about this podcast is that I'm currently trying to grow my wedding planning business. And having this podcast is letting me be able to connect with other people who are also, you know, growing their business or also small business owners, whether it's photography or hair or videography or stationery, you know, people who are women who are small business owners and are trying to grow their business. And I found out this past year as I'm going out on my own being a wedding planner that owning your business, big or small, is very hard. It's very hard, especially, you know, I don't have, like I've mentioned probably a million times, I don't have a husband, or so no one is here, you know, financially supporting me. You know, I have to grow this by myself, you know, financially speaking, and be able to make enough money to live while also investing in my business, my wedding planning business, this podcast. So it's hard, and doing taxes on your own, creating your, you know, LLC, all this stuff that I'm learning that I had no idea about. And I don't think, you know, I definitely didn't imagine starting my own business at this point in my career. It was definitely earlier than I had envisioned, but just how it worked out, like this was the time for me to go out on my own. So whether I liked it or not, really. So here I am doing it, trying to grow the business and make it in the wedding industry. But I'm really grateful that a lot of the vendors that I've got to meet, a lot of people in this industry have just been really nice and welcoming and learned so much. And you'll get to see those people on the podcast. I have incredible ladies who are very successful in the wedding industry and are, you know, have grown their business, are still wanting to grow, but have really established business, are really knowledgeable. So I'm very excited to be able to introduce you to them and learn from them myself as well. So I just want to thank you again, listeners, for all your support. It does not go unnoticed, those of you who are out there supporting me. So I'm really excited to see where this goes. February is going to be a big month. I have decided that February is Marriage Material Month. So prepare to be bombarded with posts on Instagram and just some exciting news that you're going to hear in February. So I'm very excited. Now it is time for me to answer your burning wedding planning questions. First up is Nicole. The title of her post is, "My best friend has turned into a bridezilla. Help." My best friend got engaged to her boyfriend after 5 years of dating. I was so happy for her and even helped her fiancé with the engagement. We've been best friends since high school, so she chose me to be her maid of honor. My friend is naturally pretty high-strung, but once she got engaged, she took it to a whole new level. She's non-stop texting in the bridesmaids group chat and is making us fill out a million questionnaires. When we don't fill out a questionnaire in a timely manner, she gets mad and lets us hear about it in the group chat. She decided on her bachelorette party location and hotel, but it's way out of everyone's budget. When I kindly told her about this, she said, "Well, this is what I want, so as my best friends, everyone should be able to make it work." Also, she wants us to pick out different but coordinating bridesmaids' dresses. She sent us a palette of colors that she wants, but every time I think I found a dress that meets her needs and I send it to her, she says no. I love my best friend, but she's really causing me a lot of stress, and her other bridesmaids are coming to me saying they feel stressed too. I feel like I should talk to her about it, but I don't know how. Any ideas? So, wedding planning can be very stressful, and that's why this term bridezilla was introduced, because it can be very stressful on the bride when, you know, this is a day they've been dreaming about since they were kids. There's also a lot of money involved in weddings, whether the bride is paying for it herself or her parents are paying for it. You know, it's a big investment and a very important day, and a day that a lot of people only have once. You only get married once. So that can sometimes bring out the bridezilla-ness in people, which, you know, is understandable. I think that, you know, even for me, who obviously I love planning weddings, it's something, it's a skill that I have, is planning things. I would still think planning my wedding would have moments of stress. When there is, you know, family involved, different opinions, a lot of money involved, and a lot of stress of making this day exactly what I want with the resources that I have. So someone who doesn't necessarily like planning, this could be even harder and more difficult for them. So the bridezilla comes out in everyone every once in a while. And it sounds like, Nicole, your friend is having some moments of this bridezilla-ness. And it stems from stress. So I think the best way to handle this would be to have a sit-down conversation with your friend in an environment where she's not ganged up on, so it's just you and her, and you can kind of both just share everything that you're feeling, so you can both be on the same page and be able to sort out these issues that you're having on the color of the dress. How can we make this easier for all the bridesmaids to fit what you want? Kind of framing it in a way of, I want to help you relieve this stress. So let's just take every little hiccup that, Nicole, you just listed, and work through it one by one to make it easier for everyone, because this stuff is stressful to you and the bridesmaids, but is also stressful for her, and that's why she is reacting this way. So if you can come together with her to figure out a solution to every problem, find a compromise, and that will make it better for everyone on the budget, on the location and hotel of this bachelorette trip. Maybe, you know, if you want to spend this extra money on plane tickets and the hotel, you know, maybe we plan the trip where we're eating in sometimes or not doing activities that cost money. Like, how can we save money on the trip now that we're spending more at the hotel and location, and kind of finding that compromise within that? For the dresses, can we find some dresses online that you like and kind of pair some together that the bride approves, and then share them with the bridesmaids so they can pick from those dresses that are already approved? The questionnaires. So how can we, instead of sending a million questionnaires, how can I help you create questionnaires that are more consolidated so we can get the information we need and get it to you in a timely manner without feeling bombarded by all these questionnaires and just feeling like we don't have enough time to fill all these out. So really, it's sitting down and coming at it as in a position of, I want to help you relieve your stress. How can we, these are the things that I feel stressed about, and I'm sure you feel stressed about, so how can we work through this to find a compromise so it alleviates the stress for everyone? So that would be my idea, Nicole, on how to talk to her about it and how to come to her about these ideas, because although wedding planning is fun, it's also stressful, and being a bridesmaid, you're kind of committing to, you know, helping your friend with this really important day of her life, which kind of puts you in a position where you're going to feel stressed too at times. And it's really just being able to work through it together. You guys are best friends for a reason. You're there for each other through thick and thin. So being able to work through this and make it the perfect day for her, but also an enjoyable experience for you and her friends. As wedding days, even though it's all about the pretty things, it's really about getting to be with your family and friends all together, which is a really rare thing, honestly, especially as I'm getting older and realizing that it's really hard to get all your friends in one place again. Like, all my friends have gone all over the country, so it's really special, and kind of finding solutions to these little hiccups so that you can enjoy this time. And just know that the bridezilliness will come to an end because she will get married and it will be perfect. And then you won't have to deal with this anymore. So just push through for a few months and continue to talk to her, continue to come to her with wanting to help. Come with a calm presence. Don't elevate it by yelling. You know, come with a calm presence and figure out solutions to alleviate the stress for everyone. The next question is from Madeline. She says, help. How do you manage all the wedding details without losing your mind? She says, hi all. I'm a bride getting married in the summer of 2025. I'm looking for some advice from all the seasoned wedding planners and recently married brides out there. I've been able to handle most of the big details for my wedding pretty independently, and I'm proud of how much I've accomplished so far. But now I'm at a point where I feel like I'm going a little crazy trying to manage all the small details. For example, I'm trying to figure out logistics to have my flowers mailed out after the wedding to be preserved. If you have any recommendations for vendors, please let me know. At the same time, I'm balancing family demands, writing the script for the ceremony, agonizing over things like the font color on my invitations. It's all starting to feel overwhelming. I'd love some advice on how to manage all these little details without feeling like I'm drowning. Number two, how to know when to stick to your vision versus when to compromise. I've always been pretty easygoing, roll with the punches kind of person, and I've tried to stay flexible about many aspects of the wedding. But I've also realized there are a few things I'm not willing to budge on, like having a child-free wedding outside of the bridal party and limiting plus ones. I sometimes worry that sticking up for myself makes me come across as a bridezilla, even though I'm just trying to stay true to what feels right for us as a couple. At the end of the day, I want to find a balance between creating the day I've dreamed of and keeping everyone happy, but I'm struggling with where to draw the line. How did you manage the stress of the final stretch before the wedding? Were there any tips or strategies that helped you keep your sanity? Thanks in advance for sharing your wisdom. I appreciate any and all advice. Well, thank you, Madeline, for this post. There are several questions in this, so we'll just start by the first one. Her first question was how to manage all these little details without feeling like I'm drowning. How to do this is by creating a to-do list or a checklist. That is how I manage my clients' little details, is with a lot of checklists, a lot of post-it notes, and I just break it down what needs to be done first versus what can be done a little later. I do it by priority and just one by one work through these little details. Do not just let it be by memory. You will just forget and then you'll be like, remember it later and be freaking out. Write it down. Do a checklist and take it one step at a time. Don't freak out about how long the checklist is. Just do one thing at a time. Because there are going to be things that pop up, but you'll be able to manage it. I promise that it seems like a lot, but it will sort itself out. Also, having a planner is really beneficial in helping you remember these small details. Planners offer different packages, but even if you're doing, you know, a partial planning package where the planner only helps you, you know, a few months out from the wedding, it is great to get that planner to be able to utilize this person who does weddings all the time to be able to help you manage these little details. Because there are things that planners will catch because, like I said, they do weddings all the time, that you may not catch. So my advice also to this is get a planner, even if it's a month out planner. This person will help you so much with all the little details, since you're able, it sounds like, to manage some of, you know, the big details on your own. It would definitely be nice to have someone help you, you know, a couple months out to be able to manage all the small details and make sure you're not forgetting anything. Question 2 was how to know when to stick to your vision versus when to compromise. So it sounds like you are not willing to budge on a child-free wedding outside of the bridal party and limiting plus ones. I definitely see this kind of back and forth a lot with a lot of my clients. And most go with a child-free wedding, and I do recommend that. I think that that just eliminates a lot of chaos during the wedding to not have kids there. It also helps the parents who you're inviting be able to enjoy the time and allows you to be able to catch up with them in a way that they just wouldn't be able to, you know, focus on as much when they are also focusing on making sure their kids are not getting into any trouble. So I definitely recommend a child-free cocktail hour in reception. If you're wanting to have, you know, a flower girl, a ring bearer, totally understandable. But then after the ceremony, they can go away. They can go to a nanny, a babysitter. There are a lot of vendors who offer, you know, childcare during a wedding, like nannies who would just come during cocktail hour and reception and hang out in a room at the venue and watch them. Caterers are really good at preparing kids' meals and bringing them to wherever they need to go. This isn't like a new thing. This is done all the time. So child-free wedding is definitely the way to go, especially for cocktail hour and reception. So I agree that that is something that I would personally not want to budge on, and I think that is understandable to most people. I haven't had a bride come up and say someone is really mad they can't be with their kid during the reception when, you know, people are getting drunk, and honestly, the kid does not want to be there. The kid just doesn't. So that eliminates a lot of chaos. Limiting plus ones. This is also something that comes up a lot because, you know, it's one thing if your friend is married, and at that point, yes, I think you need to, of course, invite the husband as well. If a friend is in maybe a long-term relationship, inviting that person to the wedding makes sense. However, if a friend is just started dating someone, you know, a month or two ago, or you don't even think they're dating anyone, but you just want to give everyone a plus one, I don't think that's necessary. As you're planning a wedding, you realize a per person cost is a lot. So having these extra people that you don't even know, you know, paying for them to eat and drink for free. It's just not necessary. And again, I haven't had a client really say they've had pushback on this. It's pretty understandable. I think in this day and age, people realize how expensive weddings are, and that inviting someone you don't know or is just not necessary, you know. And that's for the wedding. I think that if you are having a rehearsal dinner and you're wanting that to be, you know, really intimate and not having plus ones there, even if the person is, you know, dating someone more long-term, I think that's understandable as well. I think it's different when the person is married, because at that point you kind of are a package deal, like we've mentioned. But, you know, keeping that rehearsal dinner intimate with just the people you love, I think makes sense. But then inviting that person's plus one to the wedding, or if you're doing like a welcome party after the rehearsal dinner, inviting that person to that, I think is a good compromise. And then the last kind of two questions that tie in to the two that I've already said, was how did you manage the stress of the final stretch before the wedding? And were there any tips or strategies that helped you keep your sanity? Yes, get a wedding planner. I know I am a wedding planner, so of course I'm going to say that. I may be a little biased, but honestly, like, even my coworkers who are in the industry, people who have been in the industry much longer than me and planned so many weddings, still get a wedding planner, because it's a lot to manage on your own, especially day of. You do not want to be the point of contact if, oh, your friend is throwing up. You probably should go handle, like, you are the one now having to handle that. Or if you're not, your loved ones are. And they should just be able to enjoy the day. And then for all the little details in the final stretch, you know, when it's your wedding, sometimes you're just caught up in, you know, getting to see people you haven't seen in a long time and all the fun stuff, like the fashion and the decor and the hair and the makeup. And you're not focused on the small little details, and you don't want to be. You don't want to be stressing over this stuff. So getting a planner to be able to manage the not so fun things is going to make the experience so much less stressful, so much more enjoyable, not just for you and your fiance, but also for your family, your friends, your bridesmaids. Like we talked about, you know, the bridesmaids will feel the stress too. So just get that component so that you are stress-free as you possibly can be on your wedding and enjoying every second as you should. Our last question for today is from Lily. She says, I am giving a speech at my friend's wedding. Any tips for elements that make up a good and non-boring wedding speech? So first of all, when doing a speech, I would plan it. I would plan it out. I wouldn't just wing it. I would write something out, even if it's just bullet points, to make sure that you are hitting everything that you want to talk about. You don't want to think after, be like, oh, I wish I would have said this, or I wish I would have worded this differently. It helps if you're able to plan it out a little bit, just to make sure that you are saying everything you want to say, because it's not very often that you get to tell your friend how you feel on such a big day in their life. And these words will really stick with your friend for a long time, or your family member, or whoever you're giving the speech for. So yeah, plan it out. Make sure you're able to say everything you want to say. But also, don't drown on forever. Keep it short and sweet. I know one wedding manager I had was like 2-minute speeches, which I don't think it needs to necessarily be 2 minutes, but definitely no longer than 5 minutes. You know, time it out and make sure that you're not talking for 10, 15 minutes, because there's just really no reason for that. If you want to be boring, then talk for 10 to 15 minutes, because people just can't listen for that long. They just can't. Especially now with Instagram and TikTok, people is like have seconds where they're able to focus. So don't drown on forever. Time it. Make sure that you are saying what you want to say, but saying it in a concise way. And also just lastly, really just talk from the heart, you know, don't stress about it too much. Just honestly say how you feel and how much you love and care for this person. And don't bring up any, even though it's entertaining, I guess, for me as an outsider, but definitely don't bring up any, dirty laundry during that speech or say anything that the bride and groom may not want to hear. I had a story recently where one of the groomsmen, said in the speech how they met, the bride and groom met on Tinder, which the family did not know about, and that did not go over well. So don't air anyone's dirty laundry, even though that would make it non-boring. That was definitely very entertaining seeing that go down. But just don't do that, because that still just causes drama and chaos for the bride and groom that is just not needed. And for yourself, getting on people's bad side, don't do that. So talk from the heart, say nice things, and like I said earlier, it's not very often that you get to, you know, have a vulnerable, honest talk with your friend on a day that they'll remember forever. So take advantage of it in the very best way. Well, those were all the questions that we had today for this Burning Questions episode. Thank you again to the listeners who posted their questions. I hope I was able to give you some advice that was helpful, and not just to the people who asked the questions, but if you're listening to this and can relate to anything that those ladies asked, I hope I was able to help some of your stress. If you are listening and have a question that you'd like me to answer on the next Burning Questions episode, you can go to website marriagematerialpod.com and go to the Burning Questions blog post to comment your question, or DM me on Instagram at marriagematerialpod. Thank you all for listening. Like I said, big things are coming in February, so make sure that you are following me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, paying attention to your Spotify for new episodes, because we have some exciting news that we will share very soon. And remember, February is Marriage Material Month, so wear your red, wear your pink, wear your white, because this is our month. I feel it. This is the month where we're really going to get out there. So thank you again for all the support. Really means a lot to me. And I will see you next Tuesday. Darling, you're the one I want. To keep up to date on Marriage Material, go to our website, marriagematerialpod.com, and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Marriage Material Pod. Theme song is Paper Rings by Taylor Swift.